All right, let me go here. Just I don't know if you saw this or not, but a story broke yesterday about the, quote, racial equity officer for the city of College Park, Maryland. Woo, racial equity officer. That sounds important. Her job is ostensibly to promote equitable outcomes for people of all races. Wow. Except that she is a violent racist herself. Really? Yes. She says so on her own social media that police are the white supremacists, all caps. That it's not enough to not be racist, she says, that one must be actively anti-racist and working to dismantle this blankety blankety blank. Can't repeat it on the air. She says she, quote, can't wait for society to collapse so my ideology can rise from the ashes. On one of her posts, she then brags about co-hosting events about black liberation and, quote, how we will eat and live and grow after we burn it all down. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure she was a bad hire for the city of College Park. On another story, I came across an article that was one of those no way he said that kind of moments. So here's the deal. Apparently, there's a company out there called Pinzi Spices. You ever heard of it? I haven't. Pinzi Spices. Now, maybe they're well-known in some circles, but not in mine. But anyway, the CEO of that company that I've never heard of decided to send out a newsletter to all his customers over the weekend and let them know that on behalf of his company that I've never heard of, that he was renaming Martin Luther King Day weekend as the Republicans Are Racist Weekend. You heard me. Upon which he went on a written diatribe extolling the virtues of Black Lives Matter and insinuating that what Republicans do, actually do, is fantasize about killing black people. Really. This follows an earlier email from the same guy a few weeks before that in which he had told his customers that Republicans are, quote, the number one threat to this country. Now, I don't know if old CEO of Pinzi makes good spices, but I know he doesn't make good sense. But that said, his vitriolic commentary, it didn't really make me mad. Was it offensive? Yes. But I didn't have the time to chase down sad little people like that. In truth, I feel sorry for somebody who spends all of their God-given time and resources to do nothing but tear down and discourage. Now, y'all, I've been a student of both and a teacher of leadership, and I can tell you that you can take all the positive leadership attributes and opportunities in the world, and you can still use them for negative purposes. Basically, you can be a negative leader or a positive leader. It's your choice. You can create a constructive environment, or you can create an environment that leads from the worst cases at all times. I mean, look at Hitler. Look at any number of low-level leaders who determined to spread discord just to get their way, like the sad sack CEO of Pinzi Spices. My personal theory is that negative leadership like that often stems from somebody having a victim mentality. We're victims! We must lash out! Well, let me tell you something that most of you already know. You're only a victim if you choose to be one. So let me tell you about a man who inspired me, though. I say inspired in the past tense because he passed away in January of last year. Some of you may know the story of Brigadier General Charles McGee, who passed away at the age of 102. But hang on, I'm going to give you some details. Charles McGee was a significant feature in the history of our U.S. Armed Forces. He was born in 1919 in Ohio. McGee was a black man, growing up in a very divided society. Laws and norms and traditions and mindsets had not yet caught up with our Constitution, and black Americans there were living under the shadow of a separate America and restricted in what they were allowed to do. Charles McGee was no different. But he was a worker, with a strong family whose minister father instilled in him a work ethic that stayed with him throughout his life. Well, just prior to World War II, then-President Roosevelt initiated the integration of the U.S. Armed Forces to include black citizens. Sort of. They could serve, but they could not lead, and even then certain jobs were restricted. But in 1941, Charles McGee heard that a new program calling for black men to be allowed to serve as combat pilots was being initiated. So without hesitation, he took the tests and he volunteered. Eventually, as the war broke out, Charles McGee became one of what we now call the Tuskegee Airmen, who trained right at the Tuskegee Army Airfield here in Alabama. It was a landmark moment in combat aviation, but it was still stymied by the same prejudices that had delayed the program for so long. And then, First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt took an interest and she decided she was going to visit the Tuskegee program. And what she did sent shockwaves. She asked if one of the black pilots would take her up for a flight. Just the two of them in a two-seater training aircraft, a biplane, if I recall. And after that, the program was off and running. The Tuskegee Airmen, or the Red Tails as they became known unofficially, went on to serve with utmost distinction, numerous citations for bravery, one of the strongest combat service records of any fighter escort group in the entire European theater. I was proud as a state senator to have passed legislation that was deemed instrumental in bringing the legacy unit of the Red Tails, the new 187th Fighter Wing, to Alabama. And they're stationed right now at Danley Field at Maxwell Air Force Base in Montgomery. In fact, just a couple of months ago, the 187th got its new F-35 fighter jets, and they painted the tail fins bright red in honor of their legacy. Yeah, those men of the original Tuskegee Airmen showed the world that the color of a man's skin did not determine his merit or his worth or his abilities, and one of those men was Charles McGee. McGee went on to serve his country for over 30 years. Over time, he amassed more combat flights than nearly any other pilot in U.S. military history, over 409 combat flights total in World War II, Korea, and Vietnam. He retired as a full colonel, having been awarded the Distinguished Flying Cross 3 times, as well as a Bronze Star and other awards. In 2007, he received the Congressional Gold Medal. And in 2011, he was inducted into the National Aviation Hall of Fame, and in 2020, President Trump had him promoted to Brigadier General. He appeared in uniform at the State of the Union address, looking as sharp as ever at the age of 100. Charles McGee passed away in January of 2023 at the age of 102. Now, Charles McGee had every reason to live like a victim. Going back to my earlier points, he had every reason to lead his troops and have a constant chip on his shoulder. Why would he not? He grew up in the actual era in which racial discrimination was not just prevalent, it was allowed. In some venues, it was even expected. He never let it hold him back. He overcame every hurdle. Lifestyle, education, career, combat service, and he did so without all the vitriol and spite like the tired little man that CEO of Pennsy Spices has shown himself to be. I found a couple of quotes from Charles McGee that ought to be written on a monument somewhere. In one of them, he said, "They told us you don't have the capacity, you lack the technical ability and the moral fiber. Well, I wanted folks to respect me for my ability and not the happenstance of my birth. If you want respect, you have to give respect." But then he also said one time, quote, "Our country is more diverse than it's ever been. What is the strength of our country? It's the ability of people. If you don't get the best out of everybody, who knows what the country's lost?" Yeah, those are lessons. And his life was an example. It was an example that you are only a victim if you choose to live like a victim. Brigadier General Charles McGee, combat leader, really just a leader, never a victim, passed away at the age of 102. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. There you have it. Absolutely. I mean, I think that you're only a victim if you truly allow it. I'm not talking about a victim of violence, that's different. I'm talking about being a victim in your mindset, a victim in the way you live, a victim in terms of walking around with a chip on your shoulder. And I'm just going to say right now, DEI and all the CRT and everything else is ruining the ability for people to get out of victimhood. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.